The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Ooh, did Reese need that? Fun win for the Brewers. Another come from behind win. A grand slam. And solid work from the bullpen once again. I'm Dominic Catronio. 6-3, the final in Game 1 over the Rangers. That's back-to-back wins, and tomorrow, that's a streak if they can get it done. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. The big moment was Rhys Hoskins hitting a go-ahead grand slam in the bottom of the sixth inning for the Brewers in what was a quote-unquote relentless inning, to say the least, Augie. For Rhys in particular, though, to ambush on a first-pitch fastball from a rookie lefty, I thought that was a really big moment of trust by Bruce Bochy to go to the lefty, knowing that if he didn't get Yelich, he had two righties lurking after. And for Rhys, man, it's so simple, but it's the truth. He needed that.
Yeah, no question. He'd been struggling a little bit, runners in scoring position, but you know, that's a veteran hitter that understands the game. And, you know, he did so well in Philadelphia, playing first base as a big part of Philadelphia Phillies and their success that they had. But you could just see that inning. It was the inning of the veterans. Contreras comes up, gets a double. What a great at-bat by Yelich and Adames. But Rhys Hoskins understood that the pitcher was having a little bit of trouble throwing the ball over the plate. He thought if he got a fastball, it's hittable. He's going to swing and he's going to hit the ball at a ballpark. And he did just that. He put a great swing on a good pitch, a good velocity pitch, hit the ball at the ballpark, a big part of the ballgame.
You mentioned the at-bat from Adames. He went from 0-2 to 3-2 right before him and worked a walk after watching a couple of changeups in the dirt, which is kind of the bread-and-butter pitch for Lats, what he does so well to neutralize right-handed hitters. So, you know, from the mind of a pitcher, right, if you're not able to land your primary out pitch against a righty, you know, you're afraid of the opposing hitter eliminating that pitch. And, you know, you don't normally see on-time swings on fastballs when a guy has a changeup that you have to respect. But Rhys saw it up, and boy, was he on time. And I think what I'm trying to say is, like, he was able to eliminate that pitch because he's a veteran hitter, watching how the previous at-bat went unfolded before him. That's what great hitters, that's what veterans do. They identify what the pitcher has before they're in the box.
Well, you're exactly right, Dom. And, you know, he did such a great job by watching the pitches that Christian Yelich had fought off and got the grip. I thought that was the turning point of the whole game right there, that walk. And then he got Adames giving another great at-bat. He went up with the idea saying, you know what? And usually when you get in these situations, Dom, historically it tells you that what a pitcher will do, he'll go soft early, hard late. That means he'll throw you a breaking ball early, something getting them over to play for a strike. And then when he gets late in the count, he'll go hard at you. That was the exact opposite. But Rhys understood that here's a pitcher out there struggling, not having a little bit of a problem throwing strikes. I'm going to go up there. I'm going to look for that pitch. I get a pitch in my zone. I'm going to hit it. He did just that. But, you know, here's a place where you talk about Murph and doing the lineup. He put the veterans together. And what happened? The veterans came through. Contreras with the double. Adames with the Yelich with the walk. Adames with the walk. Hoskins with the big home run. And then the young kids took over and they scored another run that inning with a big Monasterio base hit with two outs. So really a nice job by the entire team that inning. That was well done, well executed. And you talk about scoring five runs in innings. They've done it another number of times. But what they did real well, they executed, and they executed well that entire inning.
I mean, you look at it for the Brewers, they drew more walks today than they did strikeouts. They had 7 walks, and they only struck out 6 times. They put the ball in play. Yeah, they only went 2-for-8 with runners in scoring position, but that's certainly aided by the fact that one of those two hits was a grand slam. The other was a little stoink by Andrew Monasterio later in that inning, and that's all they needed to get the victory. There was a lot to like from the offense as far as that sixth inning is what we are used to seeing from the Brewers. Maybe not grand slams every night, but the fact that you keep whittling away, you keep having great at-bats, you keep having quality at-bats, and then blink, you make one mistake, and this team can make you pay, whether it's a bases-clearing double, a home run like it was tonight, or just continued relentless approach. And if they can continue to stay on this track, I'm not saying they're going to score six runs a night, but, you know, we've seen a lot more six, seven-run games than we have one- and two-run games like we saw during this road trip. So you know the averages are going to play back out, and this offense will get going.
Well, there's one thing that we talk about. There's two things that I talk about right now. Is number one, getting with runners in scoring position. You just said it was 2 for 8 or whatever it was tonight. Walks make a difference. Walks combined make even a more difference. It really takes takes away from that 2 for 8 with hitters in running scoring position, because what you do, you're applying pressure by getting on base. The old adage of a walk is sometimes as good as a hit. I think when you look tonight, it was as good as a hit because you got the guys in the position where Hoskins could hit the home run. And another thing that I always talk about in the game of baseball, once you get past that fifth inning, walks hurt pitching staffs, no matter what it was. Jared Kinnick got lucky, made some great pitches and struck the guy out for the third out. But when you look at what the Texas Rangers did in that inning with the walks they had, I believe there were 3 or 4 walks in that sixth inning, boy, made a big difference in the ballgame. Walks later in the game, past that fifth inning, always call problems and always cause teams to get rallies. And that's what they do with the Brewers today. Great at-bats, earning the walks, scoring the runs, really made a big point as far as when you talk about runners in scoring position, gave this team a chance to win.
Let's talk a little bit about Freddie coming up after the break. It wasn't all sunshine and lollipops today. The Brewers did win 6-3, but it was a come-from-behind win. In large part to what Freddie had to go through in today's start. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Talk about it more after this. Brewers win 6-3 on WTMJ.
With an average.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory. They jump back to 13 games above 500, maintaining a 6-game lead on the St. Louis Cardinals, who won tonight, by the way, over the Braves. Down in St. Louis. I'm Dominic Catronio. We're with Jerry Augustine. Now, let's kind of take a quick reality check here. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. During the West Coast trip, when Freddie pitched in Anaheim, he pitched well. He didn't pitch great. And if you go back and listen to that postgame show, I said it. Look, there was a lot of room for improvement. You cannot get away with the lack of first pitch strikes, the length that he was working through innings. And a lot of that came to a head today. Now, granted, first pitch strikes were a little bit better today, 67%. In that last start, he was right around 50, which is not good. 14 out of 21 first pitch strikes. The real concern today for me, Augie, was the fastball command. He was all over the place with fastball command. And it was the pitch he threw majority of the time. He threw 61 fastballs today out of the 104 total pitches. Only about half of them, a little more than half, 55%. Were strikes. And I know you don't always throw a pitch in the zone, but look, with the heater, a lot of those were completely uncompetitive and way out of the zone.
I agree with you. I thought tonight it was a night where, you know, we always used to break it down into 5 outings where you go out and pitch, and you have one outing when you go out and all you have to do is throw the ball and the ball goes where it wants to. You throw the good fastballs on the corners, you got a good breaking ball. Those are games that you have. Those are games you like to pitch. You wish you could do every game. Then you have 3 games that are, you really got to work at it. You've got good pitches. You got good stuff. You're kind of locating and you're using breaking ball and those things happen. Then you got that one game where you just can't control anything. And I thought that tonight was one of those games for Freddie. He just didn't look like he had good control of any of his stuff. Although his breaking ball came through for him a little bit today, I thought more than it had in the past. But I think still, tonight is one where he is really want to go out there. He wanted to be effective. He's pitched against the world champions. He wanted to go and have a good inning. Just looked like he was overthrowing, and it looked like in that fifth inning that he was wore out, that he was just really trying hard. And I really like Murph, how he let him in there to face Smith and strike him out on that pitch. I think that was huge for Freddy Peralta, but it just looked today he's fighting himself a little bit. I agree with you 100%.
He had 9 full counts today. And furthermore, I keep track of every single pitch in a game. Freddy, when he got ahead 0-2 or 1-2, okay, in the first 3 pitches of the at-bat, if he was ahead 0-2 or 1-2, ideally, and correct me if I'm wrong, you want to get the guy out on the next pitch, whether it's a strikeout or putting a ball in play. Anything after that is extra. So when you count the extra pitches, not the pitch that got him out, but how many other pitches did Freddie have to throw when he was ahead 1-2 or 0-2 to later in the count? He threw more than 25 extra pitches just in those counts when he was ahead 0-2 and 1-2. Look, Freddie's stuff is too good to do that. And it comes back to what we just talked about, uncompetitive misses. And talking about what we talked about when Lats came in, when you're able to eliminate a pitch, when you're able to eliminate the changeup, like with Lats, when you're able to eliminate fastball, Freddie's fastball, and the Rangers did him some favors by swinging at so many above the zone. But when you're able to eliminate a pitch, it's going to make you work a lot harder. And for me, that's the first thing that the Brewers are obviously going to try to fix. Like, dude, let's try to attack and just get in the zone and get these guys out on 4 pitches or less.
Well, you look at Freddie Jones almost averaging 20 pitches per inning. And I think when you look at a Freddy Peralta-style guy, and I think you said one thing tonight that is so important, what you want to do is you want to get a guy out on 4 pitches. Whatever you want to throw, you want to throw that good sinking fastball, a good running fastball, or your breaking ball. You want to get them to put the ball in play in 4 pitches. And it just seemed like tonight was a night. I thought the whole game, and I didn't watch the game on TV, I was listening on the radio, was a game of high pitch counts. I don't know how it was. How many high pitch counts there were, but it seemed like for all the pitchers, there was a lot of high pitch counts in this game of guys taking a plus 3-2s or 3-1s or 2-2 pitches or a lot of high pitch counts. It was very different, and I thought that had an effect on the game. But for Freddie, when you're looking 5 innings, 100 plus pitches, he's a strikeout guy. He's going to throw a lot of pitches, but usually what he wants, you look at saying 20 pitches per inning, that's high. You want to keep it in that 15 to 17 area, and he's going to be a lot more effective. So I thought he had a lot of high pitch counts tonight, getting the ball out of zone. And I think you're right. They did swing at some pitches out of the zone, it sounded like. And I think that helped Freddie. But still, 104 pitches, I believe, in 5 innings is a lot of pitches.
It's a lot. It's a ton. And I'm not so certain. The big moment for me, and this is how we'll wrap it with Freddie, is look, with 2 outs and a man on first, facing the 9-hitter Leody Taveras, who's hitting 215, he's had an awful June, gets ahead of him 0-2. You have an opportunity to end the inning there. From 0-2 to 3-2, a 9-pitch walk, and you could see it coming from a mile away. RBI singles for Simeon and Seager. You were 0-2 on the 9-hitter with 2 outs, and then all of a sudden you're down 2-0. The Brewers obviously won today, but that's exactly case in point what we are talking about when it comes to Freddy Peralta struggling here today. And I think the reason why people are so passionate about him, Augie, and you know why this, yes, it's a win, but you just kind of sit here and go, huh, is because they know Freddy's better than this. And Freddy knows he's better than this. And we saw him click it into gear in July last year. And let's just hope that this weekend against the Cubs, when he makes his next start, he starts showing signs of that version of Freddy Peralta.
Well, it's that educational part. We talk about how he's been the number one pitcher and the expectations on. I don't think you talk about a team expectations, but personal expectations go up there. And I think Freddie's got a little away from himself a little bit. It's still finding out what pitch gives you that good ground ball. What pitch can you use to those 7, 8, 9 hitters who are, you get ahead of that, you can make them swing on that third pitch or get them to hit the ball one of the first 2 pitches, hit it on the ground or do things. That's where the educational part for Freddy Peralta is coming in. He is still always going to be, like I said last time, fastball Freddy. But being able to use that fastball and get ground ball early in counts on some hitters is going to play big. And just seems like he's been going deep into counts like you've talked about earlier, Dom, and that's made a big difference.
It's been a lot. Let's talk a little about the box score. Let's go down the box score, see some other performers from tonight as well, aside from Rhys Hoskins. Brewers win 6-3 after a big grand slam from Rhys. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. They love at home. They're, what is it now, 18-5 over their last 23 games at home. That plays. 6-3, the final today. Jerry Augustine with us for one more segment here on tonight's program. Going down the box score here, Jerry, another guy that jumps out to me with a multi-hit game and continues to quietly play some really good ball lately, Sal Frelick. He went 2-for-4, a double. He pulled a double to right, and he went his usual opposite field through the 5-6 hole as well. Sal's a guy, look, we've talked a lot about what's going to happen when Garrett Mitchell comes back. Some folks speculate it's going to be Sal Frelick because he doesn't hit for power. Sal is not a guy that's here to hit for power. He's here to do exactly what he did tonight. And very quietly, here in the last, 3 weeks or so, since June 12th, he's got 5 multi-hit games. In fact, he's got 7 in the month. Sal, just need a little bit of time, and he's really clicking right now.
He sure is. He's swinging the bat very well. I looked at it a couple of weeks back, and I looked at that batting average, and I thought I saw he's like 238 or 240 something, getting 263 now. So he's really been swinging the bat pretty well. And not only his great defensive play, but, something very interesting about tonight's lineup, and I call it grouping the vets. And I'm going to call Contreras a veteran. Look at Murph did with that lineup. Terang, young player, coming off a tough year. He's a young player yet. But then what does he do? He groups the vet. Contreras, Yelich, Adames, and Hoskins all come through in that big sixth inning. Then what does he do? I'm going back to the rookies. And he's going Frelick, Chirio, Perkins, and Monasterio. Really paid off, and it's kind of unique. When I looked at this lineup tonight, I go, give me a name for this lineup. I called it grouping the vets, and because I'm making Contreras a veteran, and it really paid off. The sixth inning with the veterans coming through and scoring the 4 runs, but then after they score the 4 runs and go up 5-3, the young kids take over, and they manufacture another one with the 2-out hit by Monasterio. So kind of an interesting style of lineup. I'm going to watch this a little bit, see what Murph does, but grouping those veterans really paid off tonight.
Another guy that I want to call out tonight, Blake Perkins, 1-for-2 on base 3 times with a pair of walks. He also stole 2 bags. That's another guy that folks are like, well, maybe you just option Blake Perkins and bring back Garrett Mitchell since Garrett can play center field. He also, Blake, played a flawless center once again tonight. And it's funny how this always works, right? The guys that are on the bubble start to play well when the decision is looming. And it's just a reminder, Perkins is very, very valuable, not just defensively, but when he has nights like tonight, because he can steal a bag almost at will, and he's going to give you a quality at-bat. Again, he's not here to hit homers, but he's here to play great defense and cause havoc on the base paths.
You're exactly right. The one thing I like his at-bats. Like tonight, he had the 2 walks. Really works his at-bats, and he doesn't take anything for granted. I really like he's a switch hitter. He gets from both sides. He plays excellent outfield. It's interesting to see how good, when you look at Garrett Mitchell compared with him, Perkins have 2 very, very good outfielders. But I really like what Perkins has been doing at the plate, working counts, getting big base hits, getting on base, being able to steal bases. That's a quality that you need on a ball club, and he's done very well. Now, all this means is when Mitchell comes back, I don't know if I want to make the decision. They got a very tough decision to make when that does happen.
When the Brewers also get their bullpen in full strength when Devin Williams returns, it's just a reminder of the spoils that they will have, right? Brian Hudson was down today, given he threw 2 innings yesterday. I was a little surprised by that. We talked about it then, but I imagine he'll be available tomorrow. To have Jared Koenig, he had to get like 5 outs that inning, but he got the outs. He got a little squeeze there by home plate umpire Larry Vanover. But to have Koenig deliver, Pyomps got back on track. He really needed that. And then McGill, I mean, I would say Koenig was on nobody's radar, literally nobody's radar, to be pitching with a lead in leverage in the final 3 innings of a game this year. I'm sitting here like, the dude hit 99 multiple times tonight. No one saw this coming.
I'll tell you what. I looked up and I saw 99, and then I'm going like, where did this come from? You know, you expect him to be a 94, 95 guy. But, you know, he's got that delivery that he throws, especially the left-hand hitters. Left-hand hitters have to – it's got to be just so difficult to face him because he throws so far across his body, and he's getting that velocity. He's got a little bit of what we call that duck and drive, that ball that shoots up a little bit. He's been throwing the ball so well. But I agree with you. I saw it tonight, and they were saying he's throwing the ball, that ball at 99 or 98 or whatever it was. I'm going to tell you, that's good velocity. If you can throw the ball with his delivery like he does, you can be very effective.
It's another thing where it's just like, look, man, you can see the vision. The bullpen is really darn good. And hopefully that, you know, with an all-star break looming, they can get a little breather and get things going. All right, Jerry Augustine, much appreciated. You'll be with Bob Raynard tomorrow, who's filling in for me on the show tomorrow. But appreciate your insight as always. And we'll talk again soon, my friend.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to bring up, I was listening on the radio, and I'll tell you what, if you could give Rhys Hoskins a gift, that call by Bob Uecker tonight was as special as it gets. I'll tell you what, I jumped out, I was just listening, I got in the house, I was jumped up off the couch, I was so excited, but anybody could ever give Rhys Hoskins something he could put in his little library, that call by Bob Uecker tonight was pretty special. I don't know if you've heard it yet, Dom, but take a good listen to it. It was really good. So I'll tell you what, Brewers got off to a great start, great way to start the homestand, and hopefully they can keep it up tomorrow.
It was fantastic stuff. We'll play it coming out of the break. Appreciate you, Augie, as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
Jerry, we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right, Augie here on WTMJ. Let's hear that. Let's give a quick look around the out-of-town scoreboard. We'll hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later. 855-616-1620. If you're staying up late with us here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This one hit in the air. Left and deep. Get up. Get out of here. Gone. Rhys Hoskins has just hit one with the bases loaded.
Yeah, that was as advertised there. That was awesome. Bob Uecker, 90 years young, still sounding great here on WTMJ. Awesome stuff. And it got its rounds in Brewers' social media feeds today as well. So can't wait to see the rest of the world react to it tomorrow. So the Brewers take game one from the defending world champions. Mentioned it earlier, the Cardinals did win again today. They are white hot right now. They are now 40-37. They're the only other team above 500 in the division. They beat the Braves. Not only are they trying to chase down the Brewers, so they remain six games back of the Brewers, but St. Louis is trying to chase down Atlanta for that number one wild card spot because they are now just 3.5 games apart from each other as they play for the first time this season. That's going to be something to monitor the rest of this week. The Red Sox get off the deck and come from behind to beat the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are now 8 games under. The Red Sox had a walk-off. They win 7-6. The home run a go-ahead single, a game-winning single by Jaron Duran. David Hamilton, former Brewers prospect, hit a home run in that one as well. That series win at Fenway is looking better and better by the day, y'all. The Brewers still above 500. The Red Sox are now 43-36. No one expected them to be this good. Also today, in the Central anyway, the Reds beat up on the Pirates 11-5. Ellie De La Cruz hit a bomb. He went 3-for-5 with a double and a homer, triple shy of the cycle. Home run that hit off the top of the boat in dead center field. Yeah, you heard me. The top of the boat, the steamboat they have in dead center field. That was a blast, to say the least, from Ellie. I'm pulling it up right now on StatCast to see the numbers on it. 112 off the bat, 439 to dead center. I still think that's underselling it. He crushed that baseball. So taking a peek at the standings here, not overreacting yet, but the Brewers are five games up, I should say. 6 in the win column, 4 in the loss column. So that makes it 5 games up on St. Louis. 46-33, the Crew. The Cardinals, 40-37. They don't see each other until August. The Cubs, they are in action right now in the bottom of the eighth inning in San Francisco. The Giants hosting. It's 4-2 Cubs. One cool touch, it's the first home game for the Giants since Willie Mays passing, and they are all wearing number 24 today, so I think that's pretty cool. See if they can get a comeback against the Cubs here at Oracle Park. Elsewhere, we already mentioned Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Philly beat up on Detroit 8-1. They turned a triple play in that game. 8-1 the final there. Cleveland beat Baltimore. Cleveland's got 50 wins, y'all. 50! I don't think anybody expected them to be this good. They win 3-2 over the Orioles. The Brewers don't see them again until, I believe, early August, if I'm not mistaken. But Cleveland will be coming here for the first time in a while. Up next, we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. A little bit later, we'll hear from Rhys Hoskins with Lane Grindle. And we got highlights for you as well. Brewers win 6-3 over the Rangers. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win. Rhys in a little bit. Pat Murphy now, 6-3 the final. Here's the skipper after the W.
Talking to Willie, you know, like, when the game deals you a walk, and you know, we talk about meeting the game halfway. The game deals you a ball. You win the pitch by taking it, and that's not, you know, always rewarded, and it's not always glamorous. And Willie's, for one, is the, you know, he's had as many big moments in the last few years as anybody. And but he. You know, when guys are playing the right way, it excites you. And that's offense. You know, it is not a very glamorous part of offense, but it's offense. You know, the Yelich walk from 1-2 to ball four, the Willie walk, and then Hoskins coming through when he's been through a stretch and he's hit some balls hard, but I mean, he's been through a stretch. And I got emotional when he hit it, because I'm just so freaking happy for him, you know, like, so happy for him.
The walk that Willie drew specifically, he was down 0-2. Does that make it even more challenging to lay off some of those pitches?
Of course it does.
You might have to protect in that count?
Of course it does. It means you're really locked in, man. When you see guys going from 0-2 to ball four, it's a hard thing to do. Yelich does it all the time, but Willie's been great. I mean, Willie has been great, and that's a secret part. This year, you look at his walks, and they have to be up. Okay, I don't look at the numbers, as you guys know, but they have to be up, because he's taken some huge walks in that position, and it's nice to have somebody behind him ready to do what Hoskins was ready to do. So that changed the game. There's a lot of great parts to the game. Churio's base running, you know, Terang's defense. Did they give an error to Willie on the backhand ball there?
Yeah.
Because the ball got by? Oh, okay, not an error. It was a hit and error, right?
Yeah,
okay. Okay, sorry.
Lorenzo had been on such a roll for them in quality starts. How critical was it to get him out of the game, get into the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, he was great. That guy, I've seen that guy pitch since he was in college at Fullerton. I mean, he's a pitcher, man. That guy can help anybody. He's good. He's really good.
You kind of alluded to it there on the tip, but true with base running, how much of that him trying to get down the line?
Yeah, I mean, that just shows how he's coming to the point of he's getting really an understanding that he belongs and that he can be himself and he can take those risks, because we play like that. So if he gets thrown out there, I love it, you know. It's not that I'm encouraging to get thrown out, but it's like, that's how we have to play. And I think that lends itself to that freedom we talk about, that it's really hard to keep. It's really hard to keep in this game, that freedom. We can talk all we want about it, but to keep it and just to actually go out and do it, it's really hard because they care so much. They're putting their butts on the line every night, and the exposure they have, all of you writing about him, this guy playing like this or this guy. I mean, it's hard to play with that freedom. So I'm really happy that they played with that. And, you know, give Freddie credit. Freddie pitched great. You know, our bullpen once again came in and Koenig, man, he had a lot of close pitches there, didn't he, guys? You guys watching it up close? There was a lot of close ones. But he came through in the clutch, man.
Have you ever seen a reliever, like, exhale like Koenig did? There was no,
oh, I didn't see that part.
Celebration. It just looked like he was like...
He was gassed. God. He was gassed.
Yeah. Like a runner at the end of a marathon.
Yeah. That's neat. I didn't see that part.
You talked about how Reese has been going through a little bit. Williams in the same boat. How nice was it to see that swing for him? That's what we saw early.
Well, you know what a warrior this kid is, and you know that he is not. It hasn't been from lack of working at it. You know, he was out there today at 1:30 or whatever, whacking balls all over the place. And he's really, him and Ozzie have been out there today, really working it, getting it right, getting his body under control. You know? Mike, what's wrong with you?
Oh, Mike Fasalo, catching strays from Pat Murphy. Mike Fasalo, director of team public relations, media relations. Every now and then, Murph just pokes fun. By the way, in case you're wondering, talking about the Willy Adames stuff there, with are his walks up? Well, a couple of things. Not only are his walks up, his strikeouts are down. And something we've talked about for years, when Willy Adames strikes out at a league average rate, he is lethal. Well, he's striking out better than league average 21% of the time. League average is 23%. He has the highest walk rate of his career at 12%. League average is about 8.5%. And now, after tonight's game, when you include the data from this one, Willie is now hitting .244, which doesn't sound great, which is actually still slightly better than league average. His OPS is .772. Which is 70 points better than league average. He leads your team in homers, and he's second in doubles. That's his job. He's also, very quietly, I don't know if you've noticed this. I mean, we talk about this with the walks. He leads the team in walks. Part of that is because Yelich missed so much time on the injured list. But Willy Adames leads the Brewers in walks, y'all. I don't think anybody expected that sentence this late into June. With all that said, let's relive it up next. Highlights after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game one against the defending world champion Texas Rangers in town for the first time since 2019. And a good matchup. Freddie Peralta for the Brewers against Michael Lorenzen for the Rangers. This game was scoreless early. Freddie was really laboring, having to throw a ton of pitches. Through four innings, he was already at 69. And then with an 0-2 count and two outs in the fifth inning, he ended up walking the nine-hitter Leody Taveras on a nine-pitch battle. The top of this order is lethal for the Rangers. Both Marcus Semien and Corey Seager would hit RBI singles. That would open the scoring 2-0. In the bottom half of the inning, though, the Brewers would avoid the shutdown inning. Jackson Churio singled up the middle, went first to third on Perkins, single to right, and then some heads-up base running from the teenager.
Now the stretch, and that one getting by the catcher Heim, and scoring is Jackson Churio. He was coming down the line anyway, and when that one bounced away, it was a wild pitch.
I should say he started spring training as a teenager. Now he's, of course, 20 years old. Bob Uecker on the call there. So the Brewers on the board, 2-1. And then it was time to get to work in the sixth inning. A leadoff double from William Contreras chased Lorenzen from this game. Then the lefty came in lats to face the lefty Yelich. Yelich would work a nine-pitch walk. Adames would fall behind 0-2, then get to 3-2. He would draw a walk. Bases loaded. Nobody out. Brewers down 3-1 at this point, thanks to a homer from Garcia. The Brewers are spotted with a grand homer of their own.
Adames aboard at first. This one hit in the air. Left and deep. Get up. Get out of here. Gone. Reese Hoskins has just hit one with the bases loaded. Whoa. That didn't take long. The first pitch he saw from Jacob, gone.
Whew. What a shot. Third career grand slam for Reese. His first homer in 60-plus plate appearances. His last homer was his homecoming in Philly. So the Brewers flip the scoreboard. They lead 5-3. They still weren't done in the inning. How about some good luck like we saw yesterday in San Diego?
Hit into shallow center and dropping for Mesa. And in comes Perkins to score. And the Brewers add one more. It's 6-3 now.
Andrew Monasterio with a little blooper gets the job done 6-3. Then it was all in the bullpen. Koenig would struggle in the seventh. He kind of got squeezed by the zone. Found himself with the bases loaded and two outs.
No balls and two strikes on low. Kicks and delivers. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Contreras chucks the ball into the upper deck. An ortho ASAP strikeout. And Jared Koenig strands the bases loaded here in the seventh.
Lane Grindle on the call there. And then how about one more to just bring it all home? Trevor McGill on the mound with a man on second. Up by three. The closer got it done.
McGill not paying attention at all to second base. The pitch. Hey, struck him out swinging. And this one is over. Trevor McGill comes on and blows away Garcia with another triple digit number one.
All right, 6-3, the final in game one of this three-game series. We'll hear from Reese Hoskins and Lane Grindle coming up after this, and say goodnight on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win, fun times. The homestand starts off on the right note. Want to remind you, Brewers Extra Innings brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Thunderstorms can happen at any time in Wisconsin, and as an authorized Generac dealer, Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you up to $1,500 off a whole home generator. Visit Cider.com today. That's S-E-I-D-E-R.com. As promised, Reese Hoskins, he caught up with Lane Grindle during the network postgame show. Here's the two earlier tonight after his big grand slam was the difference.
Reese Hoskins joins us right out of the gate here on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show. Reese, look, hitting a grand slam to flip the game like you did, that's pretty special. Probably even a little bit more special to hear Bob Uecker narrated, huh?
Oh, yeah, that's a legend, right? I had a chance actually to get a little story time from you before the game, so I'm going to have to find him before and make sure he comes down to the clubhouse.
So He's got to come down to the clubhouse and give story time every day now for you. Is that the thing?
Yeah, I'm sure he won't mind that. I definitely won't. Just getting to listen to that guy talk baseball is what every fan's dream is really about.
He is standing to the right of me right now, and he agrees. He'll come give you story
perfect,
time. If you promise to hit a grand slam every day, he'll come down and give you story time every day before every game. I would ask you to take me through that at bat. There's not much to take me through. I mean, you're up there looking for something to do damage with right away, right?
Yeah, something up, right? The guys ahead of me had unbelievable at bats, saw a ton of pitches, so felt like he was just going to try to get into the zone real quick, try to get ahead so he could do what he wanted. But again, having Willie see 7-8 pitches, Yelly saw 7-8-9 pitches, maybe he tired out, left something up in the middle of the plate, and I just didn't miss.
Willie's willingness to take walks, and granted, there's nobody out in this case. Sometimes it's maybe more noticeable when there's two outs, and you feel like you got to try to be the guy and push the envelope. But his willingness to take walks right now and get the next guy up to the plate has been noticeable. I think it's been something that many that have watched this team have talked about. What does that just say about the trust 1-9 right now that you guys have, that the guy after me is going to get the job done? So I'll take that walk.
Yeah, first of all, it's taking what the pitcher gives you, right? Willie's such a talented guy. He's got great bat-to-ball skills, and especially in those situations, it's easy to, like you said, to want to be the guy. But Connor, Ozzy, and Murph have just really been stressing, you know, the phrase pass the baton. And we've done a really good job of that, just continuing to get guys on base. We haven't come through as much lately, especially myself, but if you just keep getting opportunities, I've learned pretty quickly that the game puts you right back in those moments. So, like you said, Willie, unbelievable job just kind of passing the baton to me. I went up there just trying to do a job and do the same thing. I just was able to put a nice swing on a ball.
And the key to a great team, and you've been on some great teams, so you understand this probably better or as much as anybody does, is that, look, you're going to get in those situations. You might not always come through in those situations, but if you have enough guys that can do damage, like this lineup has, like some of the lineups you were on before in Philadelphia have, somebody's going to come through. It can be a different guy every night.
Exactly. And that's, I think that takes a lot of pressure off us as hitters. When not one guy feels like that, you know, if they're not getting hits, then maybe we're not scoring. And quite frankly, I think that's why we've been as consistent of a team as we have been, you know, being able to get back into the win column after a loss or after a couple losses is because of that. So, hey, if we keep getting opportunities with guys in scoring position, eventually they are going to fall. And that's how we end up scoring five runs in an inning, just like that.
Reese, last question for you, and it's more of a macro type of question, but had lost three in a row. This team has not had an extended losing streak at any point this year, and everybody knows you're going to lose two or three in a row at different points over the course of a long season. But the fact that you're able to get back up off the mat yesterday and take care of business, how big of a deal do you think that was for this team to get on that plane, come home with a win in their back pocket in that San Diego series?
Yeah, create a little momentum before coming back home, right? We've been pretty good at home. We've been able to ride the crowd's energy pretty well so far this year. So just to gain a little confidence after a tough three games in San Diego, I think is great for any team on the road, right? 3-4 is not bad. We obviously hope and expect better, but a couple tough environments. It's nice to know and gain a little confidence that we can play and win in those type of environments. You carry that on to coming back home, and you know, we're able to start this homestand off right.
Well, Reese, the Brewers fans, it didn't take them long to latch on to you and to love you and to just really appreciate having you as a part of this organization, and tonight certainly didn't hurt that case at all either. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for giving us some time here tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet.
Go Crew.
All right, Reese Hoskins and Lane Grindle earlier tonight over on the network post-game show. Back at it again tomorrow, same time, same place. 7:10 first pitch. Pre-game coverage will begin at 6 o'clock with Brewers warm-up. Alex will have that, and then it'll be network coverage taking over at 6:35 for a first pitch at 7:10. And like I said, Bob Brainerd is filling in for me tomorrow. Tuesdays are at that point of the year, y'all, where I take Tuesdays off. I'm off to the Big Apple. Got to cover some Subway Series for TBS and with our good friend of the program, Brian Anderson, tomorrow. No show on Wednesday, and also because of the presidential debate, no show for Brewers Weekly on Thursday. So you actually won't hear me again until Game 1 against the Cubs on Friday here at American Family Field. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun the rest of this week, seeing some old friends. I used to work for the Texas Rangers back in the day. But that'll do it for us here tonight. My thanks to Jerry Augustine and to our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.